You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture reading will be in Ephesians 5:21 through the rest of the chapter, 6:1-9. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it with the washing of the water by the word. He might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes, even as the Lord the church. For are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of us in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And you masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is their respective persons with him. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this grace Father God for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. The privilege that we have to come here, aside from the scurry of life, to wait upon you afresh, to be washed by the Word, the water of the Word, as it makes us the kind of people you desire. At the outset, we want to thank you for this. As we look to you for your continued grace now, as you cleanse us and sanctify us right here and right now to your purpose, that you move in our midst in such a way that every heart need will be met, that your great Son will be honored, that we be built up in the most holy faith. Thank you, Father God, for attending to these things, every little detail, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, those of you who have been with us through these studies in Ephesians will remember that the chapters deals with God's will in our salvation, because we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Those are the opening statements of this letter. Consequently, it is addressed to God's people. This has nothing to do with those people outside the fold. This is our private mail. It's the place for us to come to draw, to drink deep into, that we may have the mind of Christ. We may begin to think and see as he sees, not as we see and rationalize, but as he sees things. And so it was no afterthought on God's part. We learned that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That boggles the mind. I don't understand that. I don't have to. I just thank God it's there and I believe it. And I've been accepted in the Beloved. I've been raised and seated together far above all the principalities and powers of the universe. I can't grasp it. I cannot take hold of that, but I believe it. After three chapters of unveiling with the most unusual superlatives to describe what we have awaiting us, the fourth chapter begins of a call to God's people to walk worthy of such a calling. And the first step in that call, you remember, was that we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit of God. Not make that unity, but to keep what's already been done. That this, in turn, will move us toward a keeping of a unity of faith. That is, having agreement in our minds. Because two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. This, in turn, leads to a unity of the body. Each one of us are placed in the body as God has been well pleased to put us there. And there needs to be unity there amongst us. And so it's in that spirit of walking worthy, for that being the goal, the hope. And then we're told some very practical things because of our own life and the way we are. We're told first off to put off the old man, the old nature. You see, when we received Christ, we died with Christ. Our life, this new creature in Christ Jesus, his life is completely hidden. Satan cannot touch him in any way. Not only that, but he's been raised and seated together far above all principalities and powers. Satan's authority whatsoever. But the old man is still there. This body of death that I walk around in. Everywhere I turn, it makes these demands upon me. Upon my mind, upon my heart, upon my walk, everything. And this is probably the worst sin that saints commit today, is a sin of omission. Not to carry out, to put down the old man. Now, there'll be some things in your life you will not be able to put down, for the simple reason that God leaves some of these afflictions with us in order that we might not become so over, what's the word I want to use? Being too big for our britches, so to speak. And God allows some of these things to remain with us. And they're like a drag. Even the Apostle Paul, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Not only that, but the messenger of Satan to constantly remind him of it. But nevertheless, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on. The verbs here are all continuous action verbs. They keep on cleansing regardless. But if we want to enjoy the benefits of that, then we must walk in the light as he is in the light. And when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we see ourselves for what we are, and we don't like that. But nevertheless, as we see him and realize that we have his perfection, his clothes, and all of his beauty and righteousness are ours already, then the Satan cannot get to us except through the old man. That pretty well sets the tone of what we want to talk about this morning. And we come to the 21st verse of the 5th chapter. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That word submit means to put everything in its proper order. You see, God is orderly. He's not disorderly, like some of you folks are. Now, I'm not that way, but you are. I'm sure, doing a life, see. But God wants us to be orderly. We set everything in its proper order. God has given us this, and it now takes the family to illustrate this. Because this is the most basic unit of all the economy of God, is the family. And he begins with a wife. Well, I wonder sometimes why he begins there, since the man has been made the head. But he begins with the wife. I guess I'm prejudiced in this, but that's where the trouble all started. Because this is a place that God has begun. I'm not going to seek to improve upon it. Besides, it favors my thinking. Wives, submit yourselves. Put in order. Put everything in its proper order. That's what this word means. You ladies, you arrange your house, know what that means, to put everything in order in your house. Same thing the rest of your life. And you'll do this towards your husband as unto the Lord. Why? Because the husband is the head of the wife. He's the source for her to look to. I realize some of you ladies don't have much of a source, but nevertheless, that's the way it is. Someone has said, you make your bed, you lie in it. That's a hard thing to do. And he gives us an example that, so that, because this typifies the whole family of God, because Christ is the head, you see, of this body of believers. We look to him for the source of things. That's why this is used as an example. This is not teaching the fact that the church is the bride of Christ. A bride has nothing to do with it. A bride doesn't have a family to begin with. This is a family matter here. And the family is used to illustrate the thing that God desires in our own life. After kind of putting the woman in a very precarious place, God then said, husbands, love your wife. I think there's really a key to a lot of this, you know. Husbands don't always love their wives as they ought to. Let me put it this way. I think if you had a home where a husband really loved his wife, then it'd be no problem the woman taking her place. But whether he does or doesn't give you an excuse, a way out, if you're a child of God. Now, bear in mind that this epistle is written to God's people. This has nothing to do with the social order of humanity. It won't work there at all, because you still have the problems. But if in the family of God, if you believe God, you see, to love means to submit. It's a commitment. Usually what happens is this, that you are overwhelmed by the person you marry. In most of the cases, you think they're pretty much on a pedestal. Well, when you get married to them, you find out otherwise. And after that little initial skirmish, a year or two goes by, and the thrill that was there is gone. The feelings that you had have sort of flown out the window. But this is a commitment. And I know this sounds old and corny, but it's a fact. When you come and stand before whoever performs the marriage, it is not just a contract between the man and the woman. It's a contract between the man, the woman, and last but not least, God Almighty. And do not make vows before God and not realize that God's taking things seriously. He is not in the funny business. So love is a commitment, not just to your wife or to your husband, but to God. Now, I'm talking again in the context of God's people. In other words, I do not believe that all marriages are made in heaven. But I do believe that when two of God's people come before anyone to be married, that they're entering into a contract with God. And he does not take this lightly. As the book of Ecclesiastes, they do not say, I made a mistake. God doesn't look at his mistake. He holds you bindingly to it. And there's sorrow. There's a penalty to be paid. There's laws at work in this world that God has set in order. And I'm not talking about a legal thing like going down to a court, or thou shalt not do this, or thou shalt do that. I'm talking about laws that are natural laws, like the law of gravity. God doesn't have to do a thing in the world. You get up on top of a building, jump off of it, there's one thing that's inevitable, and that's you're going down. That law works. And when you break the natural laws of God, the sowing and reaping, they still work. The heartache of humanity today is because people ignore these natural laws. And my goodness, I hear the heartbreak amongst God's more so amongst the women than I do the men, because the men are kind of broads, they're kind of brave, you know, they just sweat it out, you know. But women like to talk about these things, and rightly so. It helps to get that out of your system. But the heartbreak is there. The laws still work. I know this is not 20th century thinking, but nevertheless, it doesn't matter what kind of schemes they come up, how many psychiatric couches they get, how many things of this nature they put into force. They still work, beloved. You jump off a top building, you're going down. If you break a natural law of sowing and reaping, rest assured, if you sow wheat, you'll certainly reap wheat. There's no question about that. It works. It's a heartbreak. And the day in which we live is so commonplace. Everybody excuses this thing or that thing. Oh, if I could just go back and do it over, you know. By the way, he probably make a worse mess than he did the first time, anyway. But anyhow, that's what happens. That's what is telling us, the family relationship here. So when you, the husband, if you feel that you no longer love your wife, what you're saying is that your commitment before God was false. You didn't mean what you said. And the same thing is true with the wife. When she says, I don't feel that way. I just don't love him anymore, you know. You see, they've been brainwashed by the news media about what love is. But the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians will give you the real definition. And it'll also tell you that love never fails. Never fails. Never, never, never. So when it fails, love hasn't failed. Who has? It's you. That's who. Oh, the heartbreak is there. And they say, well, what am I going to do? I can't go through life like that. Well, God has given, you know, we live in a time of grace. We're not under the law. God is very gracious to us. If we cannot contain ourselves, He's told us, well, in that case, it's better to marry than to burn in your passions. It's better. Not the best. See, not the best, but it's better. The best you've already set aside. And no use crying over sweet milk, over spilt milk. Right? That old story about Humpty Dumpty is still true. You can't put that egg back. It's gone. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, pressing on. Don't let it become a guilt complex. It's gone. It's under the blood if you're God's people. It's a new ball game. Look at life this way. Every day is just one day at a time. How can we live this way? Well, note carefully. And this is not my opinion. It's what God says. Verse 26. Our Lord is what? He's constantly cleansing by the washing of the water of the Word. Well, here it is, beloved, in your house. You've got every one of you. You've got probably several of these books at home we call the Bible. This is the laver. In the Old Testament, after the slaughtering of the animal, when the priest was to go into the holy place to do service, before he went in there was a laver outside of water. And he went and stuck his hands in the laver and washed them before he went into the place to do service. And we have, this is what then? This is the laver, this is the place where we come for washing. Every day. Every day of our life. If you do not come today to be washed, then you got a little bit of dirt on you. Some people take baths every day. And that's good if they like to take a bath every day. I'm lazy, I don't take a bath every day. But I usually take it about every second or third day. But during the day, I got to go wash my hand. And if I go barefooted, I got to go wash my feet. See? And this is the way we are, by the washing of the water of the Word of God. A lot of times you'll pick up the book and you say, well, I just don't get any sense out of that at all. Did you know this is your spiritual food? When you eat food, do you stop and think, well, now I need to eat this here because I get this calorie over here, or get this calorie over here, you know? Or if you just say, well, that's what I like, you'd be nothing but pie and cake all the time. You know, that's not a good diet. But you have to eat some things you don't like. You women who raise children know that. When you was kids growing up, you get the kid to eat spinach. You used to get to cram spinach down, but no child likes spinach at all. See, but that's good for you. I guess it is. I don't know anything about spinach, but it's an old wives' tale anyhow. It is. And anyhow, it's those everything you read in the book. If you just read a list of names, that's necessary. The dry things as well as the things that you like to feast upon. Most of you, when you get in trouble, you go to the Psalms, don't you? That's where you get comfort, in the Psalms. And that's why you read that so much. That's like, you like to, they just kind of had to satisfy the palate, you know. But that's like going, when you got a sweet, you want a sweet, you go eat a piece of cake, you know what I mean? The Psalms are wonderful, comforting things. But beloved, the whole book is there. Read the whole book. All Scripture is given. This is a better translation. All Scripture is God breathed. It's His breath. And I assure you, beloved, His breath is never like your breath. It's always pleasant to smell. It's God breathed. And it's profitable. It's an investment that pays off. We have the newspaper every day is propagating you to invest in this, and it's profitable. Invest in this. Is it profitable? Invest in that. There's the profit, profitable thing to invest in right there, so that the Holy Spirit can do His office work of taking the things of Christ, the washing of the water of life. This is your spiritual food. If you want to be strong spiritually, you must be well balanced, not unbalanced. God has given you and made you up into three different parts. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. And all three of them need food. If you neglect any one of them, you'll be out of balance. You see these people who live in ivory towers, you know what I mean? Just intellectuals. They don't know really what life's all about. They're smart, but they don't know anything about life. You find a man goes to a monastery and becomes a recluse and hidden from society. He may know a lot about the book, but he doesn't know anything about life. You find an athlete on the field. He trains and everything just right. He doesn't know anything about life. It's the man who's full orbed, that his whole life is balanced. Same thing as women folk. And the family tells you that a lot, you know. There's a time when the family should all be together, a time when they shouldn't be together, a time and a place for all things. That's just what this is teaching us. If we don't learn this lesson from it, we've missed the boat. It's putting everything in the proper order in which God has put it. Note carefully in this makeup today that something become prevalent today and it's destroying our society. We can see it real plain. Not only the breaking up of the home of the husband and the wife, but the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We should have left the children in here today. That's the only thing that God ever speaks about to children. Think about that. Only one thing. Obey your parents. If you can't obey your parents, who you see, it's not very likely that you will obey God whom you can't see. If you can't obey your parents, who you see, you probably won't obey God because you can't even see Him. Human nature being what it is. See, this book is a very practical book. It gets right down to the nitty gritty. It deals with us where we are and what we are. Exactly. If you have a life that seems to be completely upset because you've not, somewhere you've broken the things and you say, oh, I wish I could do it all over. Well, you can. You've got a new life. That's saying today is the beginning of what? The rest of your life. It's all, look at it that way. Live today, one day at a time. And by the grace of God, I'm going to be washed of Him every day in the Word. I'm going to be in there so that He can keep me on track and will. Whether you're a child or mature, it makes no difference. But today you can see how that children today no longer obey their parents. I seen an ad in the paper. Have you got a 78-year-old parent you don't know what to do with? That sounds kind of catchy, but it sure has got down to an awful state of things when they got to run an ad in the paper like that. Children, obey your parents. And if you can't do that, your child's in bad shape. And God said, honor them. Honor the father and the mother. And now, one of the reasons why it's hard for children to obey today, the fathers. Actually, that should be parents. True, the women are the same as the men. Provoke not your children to wrath. When you deal with a child, if you deal with him just because you're mad, that child knows it. But if you deal with him based upon the fact that he did something wrong, he knows that too. There's a lot of difference. If you're just mad because that child inconvenienced you, or you done something you don't like it, then you're provoking your child the wrong way. But if you deal with that child based upon the fact that he did something wrong, with the idea of educating him, then the old woodshed's about the best place of education I know of. But the heart, you notice a child, when you deal with a child rightly, that child wants to make up because there's been a break in that relationship. And of course, there's a desire on your part to make up too. It's not too hard to bring about a reconciliation then. But if that child's been dealt with just because you're mad, then that's a hard, you put a gap there that's hard to deal with. You see, again, there's the laws of sowing and reaping. See? I always did right by my child. I dressed him up. I gave him everything he wanted. Now he's doing everything. No, he didn't. The thing that he wanted was your attention. The home. The man and the woman, child, I remember my daddy died rather early in life, but I had a grandmother and a grandfather. We got together every night for bedtime around the book. At that time, it didn't mean a thing to me, I'll guarantee you that. In fact, I was bored to death with it at the time. But it sure did pay off down the road. See? And that, I know that they were vexed with me. My own mother the same way. But you see, it wasn't lost. God doesn't waste anything, beloved. Even your stupid mistakes He doesn't waste. Nothing's in vain. God's a Scotsman. I came from, I'm having to be a Scotch myself. He don't waste anything, see. He really doesn't. The good or the bad. That's why He can say all things work together. Good to them that love God. But this is a wonderful lesson here if you look at it in the right way. Realize putting everything in its proper order. That's what that word submit means. It put everything as it ought to be. And when you reach the end of the road, you look back And you realize that, boy, that sure was rough, I tell you. And God just brought you along, and you're kicking and screaming all the way, but because you did it in putting things in the proper place. You look back and you see his footprint all the way, too. And that sure helps when you have to face reality, and that's death, you see. And we're all going to face it, one way or another. That's what makes breaking up the family so painful. Because that, in a sense, that's a death, separation. That's what death is. The Greek word thanatos means to separate. Brings on death. Every time a divorce is performed, that's why there's so much pain in it. Every time a son or a daughter is cast aside as a drug addict or something like this, there's a separation there. And it's death, you see, in a sense. And so this is why it's so painful. Because it's so enduring. This is why we have to live every day as a brand new beginning. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press on to the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. This is what it means to walk worthy. You can't do much about those old mistakes, beloved. Most of you, if you wanted to, you got a closet full of those old skeletons. Right? Years ago, there was a program on the radio, a fellow and his wife, and they had a closet. They threw everything in it. What was that fellow's name? His wife? Faber McGee. And once in a while, that fellow opened up the door, that and everything fell out on the floor. It was an awful mess. Same thing is true in your life. That old closet there, you ought to lock it and throw the key away. Every time you open it up, it just breaks and cuts the heart, you see. There's no point in that. God swept it away. He put it in the deepest sea. He removed it as far as the east is from the west. Never to be remembered against you. I sure am glad of that. If I'm glad, you ought to be tickled to death. Well, I tell you, there's much more here. Had to do with the relationship in the economy of this world. The man who's working for another man or the man who's the boss. But the same principles are there. See? Whether you're the master or the servant, it makes no difference. You're going to give an account to God for your stewardship. And our time is gone, so I had to quit there. But we pick it up then next week in the verse 10, Ephesians 6, to be strong in the Lord. Father God, we do thank you for the word and the fellowship you've called us into, and the walk that will be pleasing in your sight, and the comfort that you do all things well. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will use these things now to accomplish the end you desire in every individual heart here. If there is somebody here who does not know Jesus, has never received him as his personal Savior, may they realize that there's no looking back, that there must be always looking forward. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is big enough to take us all in. And may this be a time when they will reflect aright, that you'll give them no rest until they come to rest in Jesus. Prepare our hearts now as we remember, again in this taking of the cup and the breaking of the bread, the great work that you've done on our behalf. Bless our efforts, Lord, in these things for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.